Today, going to be a little different. How many know, too, that it was announced I'll be in Yuma next week? Everybody hear that? So I'll be out of town. As always, look, you need me, you text me, call me, whatever you need. I'll do my best to get to it right away. And I'll try not to rub it in that it's 80 degrees there. But that was my way of doing it, right? Oh, yes, yes. Definitely looking forward to that. But mostly, you know, I want to have you guys join in with us in prayer that, you know, Yuma is part of our body, right? Part of what God has started. So these churches that are in Visalia and Yuma and Boise and here, we're one church, one body of believers, and we love one another. So definitely looking forward to all of us gathering together at the conference this summer in June. So that's going to be really awesome. But going to have a great time out there, so remember that. But today, I said we were going to be reading the financial report. I will be doing that at some point. But I also made a statement that I'm going to do something a little different, something I've never actually done before. Over the years, we have, you know, I've kind of depended on the Lord to stir the heart. And that's the way I've always tried to do when it comes to the giving or the finances of the church. I've always trusted in the Lord to stir up the heart. And that's why in, well, this year will be 20 years, right, that we've been pastoring. Come November, I think, it'll be like 20 years. Over that 20 years, you know, I've said it before, how many times do you remember us getting up here and just hitting everybody over the head and saying, you have to give to all your money to the church? We just, it's just not something we practice because I feel like this, that if God has put it in your heart to serve the Lord, you're a protector of the kingdom. You're a protector of the church. You give unto the Lord because that's what is in your heart to do. And so I trust in that, right? And is that not how we live in this church? That's how we're supposed to live, right? Is all things are unto the Lord, whether we read our Bible, whether we pray, whether we come to church, whether we fellowship, whether we donate contributions to the church, all of it is done through the abundance of the thankfulness that we just heard in that song, the gratefulness unto the Lord. And therefore, we do that. And that's what I have focused on. Today, I'm going to hopefully stir up that thought. And though we're doing the financial report, I don't want everybody just to think I'm talking just about money. I am talking about giving your life to the kingdom. And we've been after that, man. Because why? Well, in this world, let's take a kingdom of God that has been invisible to all. Is that true? Has the kingdom been invisible? But where did the scripture tell us that the kingdom exists? Within you. So if the kingdom of God exists within you, the question then is, how do I get a kingdom of God that is invisible, that God so graciously put in my heart? How do I get it to function out here? See, the dependence of God is not just built upon God coming into this world and going, well, I'm going to make this happen, I'm going to make this happen, and I'm going to make this happen. Could God do that? Of course. But what does God depend on? Everybody say, me. God depends on you and me. Where does God put his word? On a billboard out here? Where? He writes it in our heart. You know why? Because we're the ones that change the world. Not God don't come down off his throne and push everybody out of the way and say, I'm making this happen. No. If there's failure in the world, it's because of people have mishandled the word of God. You hear me? So in this church, what is God after? He is after writing his word on our hearts, and that changes the person And as the people change, what changes in the world? Everything. Of course, if you're still waiting for this physical world to change all at one time, you might be waiting a little while. There's a lot of wickedness where? In the heart of the people? Wednesday night, we talked about what that was. But regardless, the world sits in man. And so the world in man is defiled. It's defiled in our actions. So God says, I'm going to fix all this. But there's a lot of stubborn people. So I'm going to bring my word and I'm going to offer it to all the people. And I'm going to say, here's what you need to do to bring the kingdom into you. And people go, well, here's what God said, but I think it means this. And I think it means this. And I think it means this. And all of a sudden, you got a whole bunch of thinking. What's PK say about that? Stinking thinking? That's PK. You got to talk to PK about some stinking thinking. Here we go. Thinking that stinks, right? It's our own interpretation. Why don't we allow God to say it, set the example, and then follow that? That's easy. So it's like, let's do that. If God said, you follow all of this, you'll have eternal life. Oh, that sounds awesome. But somewhere, James, when we start out by saying, yeah, I like what God says, we get in the middle of reading our own Bible and studying and praying. The next thing you know, our prayers are about what we want. Our Bible scriptures are about what we want. All of a sudden, the whole gospel story's been about us. And God says, well, I didn't intend it that way. But man got involved again, mankind, right? And so God says, I'm going to lay out some things. And so he writes it on the heart. And when he writes it on the heart, it becomes very spiritual. And here's the awesome part. You'll never take your physical Bible with you when you die, will you? But you will take what's written on the heart. That is awesome, man. I think about that and I'm like, wow. That's amazing that God would allow us to have a heart, spiritual speaking, that he could write his word on and bring a remembrance to all the kingdom of heaven. Imagine if we had it written on the heart where we could draw from that everywhere we went, every day, doing the Lord's work. That's how we need to live. So when we go to church, we go because it's written, man. I'm going to the house of God, and in the house of God, I'm going to bless the Lord, and he's going to bless me. That's awesome. Why do I pray? Because I get to talk to the Lord and hear what he has to say, not just what I want to say. When I read my Bible, I let his word sow into me, and it changes the way I think and takes me from thinking what I want to thinking what he desires and what he thinks. That is awesome. Now tell me, I could stop right here and go home, man. I feel like the message of God is to say, flesh, step out of the way. Let me talk to the spiritual being in you, and I'll change your whole life. I'll change it. I'll take that spiritual person in you, and I'll renew them. I'll restore them. I'll raise them up. I'll give them every secret of heaven that I possess. I'll give it all to them because that's my child. And I ain't hold nothing back. I'll hold nothing back from my children. But you know why God holds stuff back? When flesh gets involved, when stubbornness gets involved, when disobedience gets involved. That's why flesh gets in the way and God holds things back. You think God wants to give secrets to disobedient children? What will disobedient children do to the house of God? Defile it. Hey, while I'm on that idea, we got a bunch of kids coming up. Boy, we got kids everywhere. Hey, parents, work with me. Let's teach our kids this is the house of God. And respect it, love it, walk in it, serve it. That when I come here, I didn't come here as a playground. Kids are small, bear with me. But I'm saying, when do we start teaching our kids to respect the house of God? That starts young, doesn't it? And we go, okay, well, they can't do anything. No. Kids are kids, man. Look, kids are going to do what you tell them not to do. Flat out. And you know what? I'm relearning that with my grandkids. But we're going to teach them. And we teach them like, hey, be cool in here. This is the house of God. The point being is the Lord writes things on the heart. As people, do we not also have obligations to use the word written on the heart to also speak it and write it on others? Because we serve the Lord, we teach, we give, we exhort, we let the Lord do his work. Not to control, but to love God and exalt the Lord. And so I'm thinking about all this. There's a work going on here. God, he said he was going to do it. I'm going to build my church. Don't you think that if he's building it within us, that's also going to happen here? Why is that, Brad? Because it's going to be us working it. You say, well, is God working it? Well, God's working it in each one of us, and guess what we're doing here? We're working it. And so imagine the church coming together going, man, I love God, and I'll give my life to God because I love the church, I love the house of God, and I love what God is doing. And so in this report, one thing I'm going to talk about is and it's not long. I will give some good stuff, and we'll move on, but it's good for you to know, but what I have been encouraged in is from years back, there's been such an increase in people's mindsets on taking care of the church. And I love that because that shows me too that not only is God working in you, you're ready to put that to work and realize that in a physical world, what does God have other than the house of God? We say, well, you're the house of God, Julie. True. But then where does all the houses of God come and meet? In this house of God. Well, you can't call this the house of God. Well, yeah, I can, right? Because that's where we, in symbolism and example, we say, well, this is where we come to fellowship and talk about the things of God and give our praise to the Lord. And we make that happen. But what if all the church people just said, well, you guys take care of that, and I'll show up and get all the blessings, but I don't want to help out with the church. What if that happened? What if you didn't give your time? What if you didn't give your money? What if you gave nothing? It'd be hard to keep the lights on, wouldn't it, James? Or somebody would feel all the pressure and then start trying to make stuff happen. You know where I want to see happen is the body come together, many members, everybody doing unto the Lord. Is that the way it's supposed to happen? That way, if anybody has a need, the church is there. That's how they set it up in the New Testament church. That's the way heaven works. There's nothing lacking among because everybody's willing to give and communicate and love one another. And that's awesome. And so the Lord's been building this. And I'm so excited. I can't help it. I'm so stirred up about what the Lord wants to do. And so I was going to have a business meeting, so to speak, like we always do after church. But last Sunday when Gary was speaking, I was so inspired and stirred up about there's no separation. What's the separation between what we do for the church financially and living for God? Because it's a parable of giving to the Lord, is it not? Is it? And so don't get nervous. Nobody get nervous. You start talking about money, everybody gets nervous. You know me. I'm focusing on what's in that heart of yours. Now, let's set up something, though. You remember how tithes and offerings was set up in the Bible. How was it set up? Tithes and offerings. What is a tithe? It was a 10% gift back to the Lord of something that wasn't even yours anyway. Because, I mean, God gave us the breath of life, didn't he? So it was set up under the law to give 10% back to the Lord. And then there were offerings on top of that. Malachi says to bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse so that... Somebody finish that for me. So that the house will be full and there'll be meat in my house. The storehouse will be filled because the tithe comes back. Now, think about this. Think of that spiritually and think of it earthly. Heavenly and earthly. Did God do a giving of himself? Did he give? What did he give? Everything, right? Jesus, he gave his life for the salvation of us. When he says, give a tenth, would I balk at that? No. Matter of fact, let's forget the law for a moment. Let's go back before the law. And I want to read a couple of scriptures to you. This is before the law. How many remember this guy named Abraham? What was his name? Abraham. Who was he? He was a father. Check this out, everybody. Now, if you don't know who Abraham is, you're going to learn something. Abraham was the origin story of the family of God. Abraham. You say, wait a minute, it started with Adam. No, Adam started a different story. And he brought Abraham to be. But Adam was a different part, then Noah was a different part, and then God said to Abraham, I need a father. That's what I need. And he started a whole family that has now come to Christ. And you know what Paul says about Abraham? That the promise of Abraham is ours through Jesus Christ. Think of that. Are we connected to Abraham through Jesus Christ? We are. See, I'm not going to get up here and preach on the law of why you should give. I'm going to show you some examples of two men that absolutely lived under the promise of God and gave unto the Lord. I want you to listen. I'm only going to read one verse. Abraham come back from battle, and he met this man named Melchizedek. Melchizedek was an example of a priest, king of Salem, king of peace. He was a representation of Christ. And Abraham met him along the way, and this Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And then Abraham, I'm going to read this. You can look it up later. It says, and Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all his possessions, a tenth of everything he had, a tenth. This was before the law. How did Abraham know to do that? Let me just say it this way. It was in the mind of God. That's how he knew. Check this out. Then you go to Jacob. Who is Jacob? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Is Jacob the father who God called Israel? Is he the father of the 12 tribes of Israel? That's how they became a nation. Do you know what happened to him when he fell asleep on a stone and he had a dream? What was the dream? The ladder. Angels were ascending and descending. Who was standing at the top? Oh, you can bet it was Jesus. He was, and the angels were coming and down. What is it? Notice what Jacob is learning. What is he learning? Somebody tell me. Going up, coming down. That's right. Prayer, giving and receiving, tithing. God was teaching it to him. Do you know what? He woke up and he had this offering and he prayed. And here's what he said in Genesis 28, verse 22. And Jacob said, this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all and of all that you shall give me, I will surely give a tenth unto you. These are two examples of the patriarch fathers that worked in giving back to the Lord a tenth before there ever was a law. And so you say, well, I don't live under the law. Good. Get back to the promise then. The promise was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that set the whole pattern for Jesus Christ. And then Jesus comes, and what does he say about giving? He starts telling us, hey, remember that 10% thing? I tell you what, let's do it even better. Give all you have. Wait, what? I mean, I was good with 10. I was good with 10%. I mean, I have a hard time sometimes with 10%. Look, I want you to give it all. What is he going after? He's going after the heart. He's going after the heart. See, in the Old Testament, especially under the law, see, Abraham and Jacob don't fit under what I'm about to say. They did it from the heart, led by God. They met with God, bro. That's why they knew to give. And that's why they weren't even questioning whether I should give. The law was given in a 10% because people had to be told to give. That's what they were told to do. And you know what? They resisted it over and over and over again because it was a commandment and they didn't know God. The only time you'll ever resist giving your whole life back to God is when you don't know him. Because I'm going to tell you, the minute you get to know God, guess what you want to give? Everything. And so my counsel on it is this, and of course I live by all of this, is you say, well, how much do I give? If you don't have it fully in your heart yet, at least do the example that God gave us. What do you think of that? Because it could get real quiet in here. Say, well, it's been 20 years. You never talked to us like this. God's building a church. And he wants the right mindset in the people. Don't be lazy in your approach to God. And that's in all your life. That's in all your life. And we say, well, I will follow the example that God gives. That's what we want to do. Did God set a pattern? Then that pattern is in my mindset. And you say, well, I can't afford different things. Look, work it out. Work it out, man. Trust God. Believe God. Give yourself to God. I got past that a long time ago, that I could make excuses for everything I do for God. Can you? Why does the flesh like to make excuses? Oh, to justify itself, to hide and guard things. Okay, so here's what I'm after. The Lord is writing his word on our heart. Whatever he writes there, you obey. You do. But here's the cool part. Whatever he writes is the thing you want to do. You don't struggle with what's written. Right? Or wrong? Like if it's written in your heart and you say, God gave that to me, do you struggle with it? Or is it the thing that is commanded you that you're still fighting with the flesh that you're struggling to do? So in the commandment, you got to trust the Lord. That's where you turn it over to the Lord and say, I've just got to trust the Lord to write this in my heart. And that's what we do. And I love that because the Lord has led us. And there's some things that, man, I want to get into some more things in the church here that the Lord has really stirred my heart in. There's many great promises still coming to this church, man. And I love it. I look forward to it because if we all have patience, those battles that many of you are fighting at times to work through things, this is where we are learning that God is in charge, not us. That's what we're learning. That when we turn it over to the Lord will work it out. And when we all get to that place, There will never be a problem with laying our life down for the Lord. And that's what the Lord is calling us to do. We need to be kingdom-minded in the sense of, what's the prayer say in Matthew 6 about the Lord's prayer, about the kingdom? Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth. Where's the earth we're talking about first? Within us, right? And then how does that work outwardly? Do you want the will of God to manifest in this church? In this church among us right here, we want the will of God, right? That takes kingdom-minded people, people that love God, that love the work of God, that understands God has a government. And he's writing his words on our heart. He's taken his very script that he judges from. Notice I call it a script, but it's a word. And he's taken that and he's saying, all of this off this book in heaven, I'm going to take this and I'm going to write it in you, and you become the book. So when you stand before him and your book looks like his, it's a match. Will you be pleasing to the Lord? You will. And so my call this morning is, as God is writing his words on our heart, I brought up the 10% part because of this. That's included in every part of our life, but that was a template to teach what? What was that really an example for us to learn from? Is it just so that we can live this life and say, well, I have to write a check for 10% of what I made this week. Is that it? Is that what this is about? Or is it because man is stubborn and they would never give to God? So I need just to teach them that there is a giving. And if you give, I give, talking about the Lord back and forth. If I give to the Lord's given to me. Are we angels ascending and descending into heaven? And what better place to hear from God than in heaven? Yes, Sharon.
Is it a preparation for us to live in eternity?
Yeah.
What it's going to be like?
Yeah. I've often said that her thought was this: is it a preparation to live in eternity? Because I think about this all the time. And I've said this for several years, not every Sunday, but here's my intent. I get that we want to learn how to live in this life and you know, have a good life. That's God's gift. Have a good life. Make money. Have nice homes. Whatever that entails. Just, it's a gift, right? But it all dies with us. So the preparation in this church is all about how to live in eternity. Because that's where you live forever. So is God in heaven going, I'm not sharing anything of mine. I'm not giving up anything of mine. Is that how he runs heaven? Or is he says, hey, everybody in here, let me give you all that I have. If you stand before God, do you think you'll say, God, I can't give you certain, I can only give you this much. Is that how we act with God? Or are we learning to say, I'll give it all, Lord. I wouldn't have it without you. I would have nothing without you anyway. So I'll just give it all back to you. Whatever you want, it's yours. Now imagine having that mindset. Don't take it so literal all the time as, well, you got to give every dollar to the church, all of that. I know what the world has done. We're not like that. We're not like that. You know, this front deck out here, that was like $3,000. Church never saw one dime leave the church to pay for that. You know why? Somebody did it. You see this grass out here? You've never heard me read a report about the grass getting mowed. But did you know a lawn care service comes every single week during the summer to mow the grass, and we've not paid one dime? You know why? Because somebody in the church pays for it for 10 years. maybe more. And you've never heard about it, have you? This is what I'm talking about. This is the kind of stuff that happens among the people, and a heart like that is not after to be seen of men, are they? A heart like that is just saying, I'm just going to help the kingdom. Whatever we need, I'll do that. Because it's all the same. It's like, do I need to be a witness to somebody? That's part of the kingdom. Oh, do I need to build a deck out here and give the money for that? That's part of the kingdom. And there's no condemnation because everybody's in different places, right? Everybody good with that? Everybody's in different places, so we do different things. But I want the prayer in us to be this. Lord, whatever you give me, help me give unto you whatever you ask. That's it. Because the Lord has put it in the hearts, I mean, like I said, without even having to command everybody to give, people are giving. And I love that because that's the way it should be. And when God begins to put it in the heart, you don't have to command everything, do you? You start willingly give of yourself at whatever's needed. And so I like this idea that when you come to church and you see things that need to be done, and you say, hey, that needs to be done. What do we want to do about it? You know? And then we just work together. How many, most people don't go down to the basement. The whole basement yesterday was patched up. You know, Brad and Rigo were down there working all day long, patching up the whole basement, cleaning it up. We're going to paint that, get it fixed up, things like that. And I'm learning that all I need to do is ask. Does anybody want to help? And people begin to help. And so I appreciate that very much, very much. And so I think that because of what God is doing, writing it on the heart, I think that that is the key. That's the key right there. Abraham did what he did because he was a man who loved God and was given a promise. Jacob met with the Lord and then just gave all that before a law. And remember, Paul taught us that we're of Abraham's seed. Are we joining to the same promise? That's why Christ will come in us. Because once again, the focus today is not supposed to be money. It's supposed to be Jesus visiting our hearts so that our physical life follows his guidance. That's the power of Jesus working in the heart. And I love that, man. And so imagine as we move forward, and I ask, we've got young people coming up. Some of these things need to be taught. Not just like, yeah, for young people, it's a lot of it deals with commandments, doesn't it? Just like us, why does it start with commandments? Because you don't know. Number one, you don't know what to do, and you need them, Brad said. Because how many of you needed a commandment to cause you to live for God at some point? Anybody? I mean, you started off just loving God. All of a sudden, you got saved, and you go through a few trials. Next thing you know, it's like, oh, here comes the flesh. I don't feel good about serving God anymore. And then you read the scripture, thou shalt. And you're like, huh? Okay, I better do this because God said. But then Jesus comes and says, let me fix that part. Now let me put it in your heart. Now you want to do it again. That's awesome. How many of you love the Lord?